Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
An Insecure podcast on post-show recap? No worries, we got y'all. Insecure Season 5, Episode 7, Chillin', Okay? It's over, but we're just getting started. It's your boy Chappelle, and I'm back with another one. And this week, I'm joined, of course, as usual, by my co-host, Miss Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hi, Chappelle. You know, we're back. It's just the two of us for the first time ever. So here to break down this episode that was just like a really good character study, very closed type of episode. I really like this episode and kind of where we're headed for this last stretch of the season. How about you?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. This was a good one for me because it reminded me of the old Insecure days because it's got our core character group that we like, right? Like, these are the ones, our day ones almost. We got Issa and her friends, and we got Lawrence, right? And now we got Lawrence and his side story. But we get the main characters that we've gotten used to over the course of these last five seasons. You know, Molly's there, Tiffany, Kelly, and Issa, like our core four. So for me, I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie to you. Also, I did notice that this is one of the few episodes where there's not a lot of transitioning between different locations. It was really only one house. It was Issa's apartment and Condola's home. And do you think that has something to do with COVID? Do you think they're like locking them down because they didn't want to bring in a lot of extra going on? Because you got to remember, this was filmed in a world where it's a pandemic on the outside, even though they're not acknowledging it on the inside.
Well, first off, I did like the transitions between Issa's house and Condola's. Like, it was always like a street shot. It was like a fading shot. Like, so I feel like that shot in itself was trying to say, like, this is happening in real time at the same time. So I really liked that transition. But also, from what I understood, from what I think it was Prentice Penny said on Twitter, was that they've been trying to do like this bottle style episode for like five seasons now. So I don't really think that COVID had too much to do with it. It seems like they just really wanted us to sit down with these characters, you know, in one space, maybe for the last time, really, like, to really flesh out some stuff. And they wanted to have a big, I think they said in the wind down too, that they really wanted to have that big reveal and everything with Tiffany and stuff. So I personally don't think this is COVID related. I think they've been just trying to nail home these final episodes here.
Oh yeah, that probably makes sense. And you know, we need that, right? We don't get a lot of the main characters all in the same space anymore. I mean, we did have the moment at the class reunion where we had, you know, the core group together with Derek as well. But here it's like, yeah, this is the reason why I watch Insecure. I watch for the characters and how they interact. I like watching the happy, successful Black people kind of intermingling on a show that isn't circled around, you know, like slavery or poverty trauma. You know, so this was just them in their own space, living life. Some, you know, Black people joy. We love that. So I enjoyed the episode. I've heard mixed reviews about the season online, here and there. We've gotten some feedback about some mixed reviews as well. So, Mari, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. As always, you can email us. I'm trying to plug the email and then didn't even have it. But was it insecure at post show recaps? post show recaps.com. So we did get an email from Jason. They said, I'm gonna paraphrase some parts, but I do want us to address some of the parts in this email. So they said, hi, love the in-depth analysis you guys do. However, I wish you discuss more how terrible or lackluster the season has been. I just feel like nothing really had happened and we keep expecting something to happen, but it doesn't. I'm going to stop right there. And Jason, where have you been? I've been talking about how, you know, for about 2-3 episodes there, I was checked out. So, I mean, I feel like we've had a pretty fair, like, I think we've been pretty fair on the season in a sense of saying when we've been disappointed and when we liked what we've seen. What do you think, Chappelle?
Yeah, I understand what Jason is saying because I've been pretty positive about the season. I know Asia mm-hmm. was as well. So after yes. the last podcast episode, you probably do get the feel that we are higher on the season. But yeah. Mari has pointed out several times that, you know, this has not been her favorite season. And so I do think yes. we cover both sides of the spectrum, like the good, the bad, the in-between, kind of the things that you feel like you're missing, some of the mm-hmm. Like the drama that could be there, and also acknowledging that only got 10 episodes, they're 30 minutes long, and there's not much you can do in the last season because you can't,
exactly.
You know, we don't have anywhere to go from here. So I think we've been fair.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, literally after those two episodes, what was that? Episodes three and four. I think it was 3, 4, and 5, actually, I think were the ones I was like the most down on. Last week, episode 6 was the one where I was like, okay, I think I'm back. And, I remember listening to those episodes, like, am I the drama? Like, am I? So I think we've been more than fair. And I agree to some extent. Like, like we said, there were, I think episode 3, episode 4, it felt like very Game of Thronesy. Like, nothing is happening, but, you know, it's moving slow. And yeah, it's probably not the season that we all envisioned when they told us back in January that this was the last season, but this is what we're getting. And at this point, I'm waiting for it to finish. Like, I guess I'm more waiting for it to stick the landing so I can really go back and really absorb everything. As somebody who watches the episodes twice every week, I think that, they've been better on the rewatch. I do think that, as people, the two of us, we talk about this all the time. We binged the 4 seasons before we went into the season. So I think a lot of people are forgetting a lot of the setup and that we're getting the payoff for this season. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So I think we've been more than fair. And that kind of leads into their next point. They said, like, to paraphrase, they're like, you know, we haven't heard about Daniel or Issa's brother, or what about Frida from season 1? They said they want those characters and people. They would love to check in with those people. And instead, we're getting Nathan and his crew of misfits who Jason says they have no loyalty or feelings about. Like, why do we need to spend 2 or 3 episodes with Suge and Risha? It's beyond frustrating. So to that point, I'm going to say, like, if you've been paying attention, and again, as somebody who just freshly watched all 4 seasons to prepare for this, every single one of those people, except for Issa's brother, I do agree with that. I do want to see some more Mod. Is that his name? But the Daniel and Issa, like, that left on a, like, a goodbye, Issa. Like, that was an ending. And so did Frida. Like, I think they tied up those links. And I think we said it in maybe episode 2 or episode 3 that you don't need to trot out every character in a final season if it doesn't make sense. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care. Like, you know, if Issa runs into Frida at a farmer's market, okay. But, you know, just kind of shoving them in there just to say it's the last season, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that personally.
Right. I get that. And definitely get what Jason's saying, because, mm-hmm. you know, you grow to love these characters. We spent plenty of episodes with Frida and Daniel, yeah. Dro, Candace, like the list goes on. All of Molly and Issa's exes, you know, have come and gone.
Yeah.
But it's the last season, right? So for me, I'm okay with us kind of closing the book on them and starting anew. So we get a few new characters to learn about. It's not like they got any real strong storylines. I mean, we get a little mm-hmm. drama with Suge. Drama happens. We get a little drama, you know, we get some funny moments from Risha. But I think what it is that 4 seasons ago, we started on this journey and we had Issa meeting these people and having her love interest and these trials and tribulations of her and her friends. And then you move on. You know, you grow old, yeah. you get older. That's so true. The same way in life, right? Like, mm-hmm. you might not be friends with all the same people that you were friends with. And the drama that was drama for you years ago, sometimes you'll look back at that and don't even remember how you, mm-hmm. you know, why that was so important to you in that moment. So, although I agree with Jason that I do miss, listen, I love Frida and I went to Yoda, yeah. you know, like my people haven't popped up either. But at the same time, it's like, nah, we're moving forward and we're looking for new beginnings for Issa and the group. So, you know, I don't think that's a huge issue for me.
Yeah. And just a few more final thoughts. This one I definitely have to read verbatim. Now, on to Molly. Sigh. So you're telling me we lost the cute light-skinned bi guy, Nathan. I think they meant Jared there. But,
Jared. That's Jared, yeah. not Nathan. Yeah.
We then lost Dro, and we lost Andrew, only to settle for and arrive at Torian. This is the saddest things I've ever seen on television, and I truly hope Molly is alone at this point, because she just deserves better than this. So this is the one part where I have to say I completely disagree, and we're definitely going to go into it this episode. I think Molly is literally the only, not the only character, but to me, she is the main character this season showing true, absolute growth, and good riddance to every single one of those people on that list. Like, I definitely don't need to see Dro. We're going to talk about that. But Jared, I think, was a lesson for her. Like, that was a hard lesson that she had to swallow, because she, and I think she realizes that she had so many standards, she made an assumption, and she lost out on a good guy. And she realized that. And I think she needed to realize that to end up where she's at today. And you can say the same about Andrew. So I think Molly has done an excellent job with, they've done an extra excellent job with Molly's arc. And settling for Torian, I don't think it's a settle, really. Like, again, hopefully LaTanya will be able to come back and tell us, how she arrived at Torian, because she rewatched the show like we did, and she had called Molly versus Torian in episode one. So clearly there have been things laid there, like the tracks have been laid there for it to be Torian. So I don't see it as settling, and we'll again talk about it in this episode, but I think Molly is really playing this really well here. Chappelle, anything about that for you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one. Jason, you lost me here, because you know, from what we know about Dro, he's married. He didn't want the same things Molly wanted. Like, Molly wanted a relationship with a married man, and he wanted somebody that he could hang out with when he wasn't with his wife. And so that doesn't really like land for me. As far as Jared goes, that's just a failed relationship. They happen. People come, people go. Same thing mm-hmm. with Andrew. What I probably have the biggest concern about is what's wrong with Torian. Like, you know, like, Torian is a lawyer. He is he seems like he's doing fine for himself. He hasn't been, mm-hmm. you know, extremely rude to her outside of, you know, their normal bantering, snipering each other. But he hasn't treated her poorly or anything like that. So I wouldn't say it's settled. Now, Jason, if you ain't attracted to Torian, just say that. But as far as Molly goes, I think she's fine. I don't think this is any problem. Now, if we saw Torian being like super problematic or something like that, mm-hmm. then I'd be like, okay, Molly, work on yourself. But right now, we have no reason to believe that Torian is a settle for Molly. So moving forward, we might see something different, but I'll keep an eye out on it. And thank you for your feedback, Jason, because I think this is one of our longest feedbacks that we've gotten for the show so far.
Yes, it is. And I just wanted to do one more verbatim, because I think this is, judging by the next time on, I think we're going to get more info on this. But they said, lastly, I feel like I'm watching a different show from you when it comes to Crenshaw and Issa. I'm not a huge fan of Issa's, but she didn't do anything wrong except maybe not fight super hard to preserve his vision. I think he's being whack AF, and she should have checked him ages ago. She was doing her job, and if he didn't want to follow her points, then he should have told her up front and moved on. Instead, he used Issa, which to me shows he's a loser. So we're not going to get into this, because I think we did this for like two or three episodes talking about the Crenshaw and Issa's dynamic. So everybody can go back and listen to that. But I would love to hear everybody's, you know, we'd love to hear everybody's perspectives. Do you guys agree about the Crenshaw and Issa takes that we have? What are your takes on Crenshaw and Issa? What do you feel about Molly and Torian? We'd love to hear from you. And just like Jason, we'll read it here on the podcast if weekend. So please send us an email, insecure@postshowrecaps.com, and we will read it here.
Yes. And Mari, with that, thank you. That was great. With that, we are going to toss it to our first ad break before we get into the episode and talk about all the nitty gritty and all the shenanigans for Issa and her friends. We'll be right back. All right. And we're back. So let's jump right in. The episode starts with Issa rolling up to prepare for what I assume was like a girls' weekend, yes, or a sleepover of some sort. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we get our crew. We get Issa's friends, Kelly, Tiffany, and Molly. They're all there. And we see them all entering the room just ready to have this girls' weekend. This is foreign to me. I don't know. Like, a lot of guys have guys' weekends, but like, me and my homeboys, we like, we'll watch football and stuff, but I don't think we've ever been like, let's have a sleepover. Mari, this is new information for me. So what is really? A girls' weekend typically like?
Oh my gosh. A girl's sleepover weekend, like, especially when you're a grown up, it's so fun and it's so cathartic. It always ends up in like tears and like Kelly said, it goes there. It's happening. Like, I just had a sleepover this weekend with one of my best friends. Of course it included kids. We all had our kids. So it kind of evolves. Like, a girl's sleepover always evolves. And I will be having one on New Year's when I get to go see my other besties, and with their kids, you know, so, and our husbands. So, you know, sleepovers as an adult and especially as a woman are just always so fun. And especially when you're in those, you know, your mid-20s to your 30s or whenever you and your girls just get a chance to hang out and just drink a lot of wine. And we do the same thing. Like, we play like random games. Normally ours involve like, I don't know if you know the Ox Gods card game. Shout out to them. That's a great card game if you want to play, or Cards Against Humanity. You always start out with like something like that. And then it does always delve into like, you remember 10 years ago when this happened, this happened. Vases come up. So this was a perfect representation of what a women's sleepover was. And it was just so nice to like watch an episode based on it.
Yeah, no, this is cool. We see, you know, Tiffany walks in with her Ivy Park that we know she ended up paying the expensive prices for off the StockX. You know,
remember that.
Me and Mari, no, you don't listen. You don't buy the resellers. You gotta play the game out here.
Up at nine,
sneakers app on refresh, man. So it looks like they have the massages and the dinner plan. And they start the pregame with the soggy blunts because they want to decompress and they want to take Molly's mind off her mother, who we find out is actually doing better. And so the women start the pregame. The next scene is them sitting all out on like Issa's balcony and kind of warm. Yeah, like, it's more like a porch, I guess. But yeah, whatever. But they're taking pictures of sunset, and their moment is interrupted when they get the call alerting them that the pipe has burst at the spa, and they won't be able to get their massages with the hot rocks and all that stuff. Now, Mark, I've never had the hot rock massage, but that is what I think a massage is supposed to be. So I'm always like, oh, I'm about to go get a massage. I need them hot rocks. I need that.
Yes, I am a fan of the hot rocks massage. I do have a Massage Envy subscription. I have my own masseuse. I go to the same lady every time. And it was sad. I was like, what had to happen? When she picked up the phone, I was like, okay, they're canceling the spa. But I was like, what had to happen for them to cancel? They do not cancel massages. Like, that's something that does not happen very often. So unless there's like an emergency. So yeah, the spa, the pipe burst. So they couldn't do that. But you know, they stay home. They rolled some more. They smoked some more. They were like, well, let's drink. Let's pregame before our reservations at 8. So, you know, nothing lost. Even though Tiffany was dreaming about them rocks in her sleep, and Issa offered to get the ones off the porch and throw them in the microwave for
her. look, I might have to try it. I've never had a hot rock massage, but I do love a good massage. Yeah, the last time I was at the massage parlor, I how they have like the music playing.
Yes.
My masseuse, she left the room. I don't know what she went to go get, but I was laying there and I was like, Alexa, play Ari Lennox. And so when she came back, we had like the soothing sounds of the ocean was gone, and she came back to break me up
You look, you should have run out the door. She thought you got to Deshaun Watson.
She came back. She was dying laughing. She was like, I did not play this. It's like, oh, it was on shuffle. Just don't leave me with the ox. That's all I'm saying. But
allegedly, I have to say allegedly too.
Allegedly Deshaun Watson. Whatever. We'll see. But Issa does have a better idea than polishing off the soggy blunts. She ends up playing my song, Keisha Cole and Diddy's Last Night.
Yes. I think you mean Danity Kane's Last Night that Diddy stole from the group.
I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Diddy has done so many wrongs. There should be a deep dive on all the people. Like, what is it? The ground is littered with the bodies that Diddy has stepped over to the top.
Yes.
And R.I.P. Danity Kane, you're going too soon. But yeah, this song jams. I was in heaven right here.
I love this song.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Keisha Cole was in her bag, Mari. I remember when this song came out. Yeah, man.
She hit them notes that the mother girls couldn't. I feel bad for Dawn because Dawn was hitting them notes, but the other girls weren't. So Diddy snatched it.
Yeah. That's what we need to podcast about. Making the band rewatch the rise and fall of Danity Kane.
And Day 26.
Yeah. I mean, look, the list goes on. Where's Donnie? But anyway, but this is just to buy time for Issa to go get the hat so she can start the infamous question game. Now, Mari, you told me you play games, you do the Oxford game. Have you ever played the question game before?
No, apparently Issa says Issa Rae went on Twitter and said that she actually made this game up in college. Oh. I mean, sure, like we didn't do much anything like this. It was just your regular truth or dare and stuff like that. But this was a really cool game. throwing those questions in the hat and letting fate decide, basically.
Yeah, and the questions get real. Like, this is your chance to throw a question, and then whatever comes out of the hat, you got to answer the question. And we see Kelly isn't scared because, in her words, a bitch got preguntas. And so she got questions, and we're waiting to see the answers to those questions a little later on in the episode. Mari, in a way, this will be the questions game for us because I will be asking you plenty of those questions coming soon. Are you ready?
What? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we got to talk about the episode, so so we'll get to those in a second. But we do have to check in with my boy Lawrence Hive. We out here today. We back with Lawrence, and we see him. I don't want to say in the ghetto, but he is at his baby mama's house. And you know, sometimes you know we've seen with the past that Condola and Lawrence have it gets a little ratchet over there. He's there to drop off baby Jai, and he notices that she has a shelf outside that hasn't been a shelf that hasn't been put together completely yet. He offers to complete it, and this moment is kind of awkward, at least from my point of view. And it seems like the two are getting along, right, Mari?
Yeah, well, yes, it's awkward because, like, you know, he asked if she wants to do it, if he could do it for her. And then she's like, oh, I got a friend coming next week. And he's like, well, I'm right here. Like, I can see why she was like, I don't know about that, because putting together a shelf, that's relationship status. Like, that's your man puts together your shelf. Like, that's, you know, so it's kind of like, I don't know. But I like that she accepted his help because I think this is kind of, and we also open with him handing her baby Eli, where we know that, or what it's insinuated that he stayed with him overnight, you know, so this is our confirmation that Lawrence has graduated to the overnight stays by himself, and then her trusting him to put up the shelf is like giving up a little bit of like letting him help. So it's metaphors on metaphors, like Condola's letting go and letting him help.
Yeah, you're right. Putting together stuff, that IKEA furniture, like, you know, that's relationship stuff. Because if you got a dude that's around here and he be over here, why he can't do it? I'm definitely not signing up to do something and somebody else don't got to do that stuff. And like, what are you talking about here? And so like that relationship stuff, like folding clothes, what J. Cole say. Yeah, like, you folding clothes with somebody, okay, y'all together, y'all go together. Right. So, Yeah, so I was kind of surprised to see that this was happening because I don't know how I feel yet about Lawrence and Condola, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Back at the hangout, the sleepover, they start the question game with what is an embarrassing story that nobody knows? And Molly reveals that she has never seen Love Jones. Now, Issa is shocked by this because they bonded over seeing Love Jones in college. A few episodes ago, we found out Mari doesn't play spades. Yeah. Mari Ford, have you at least seen Love Jones?
I actually have seen Love Jones.
Yes, she did it.
I saw it about 7 years ago.
Better late than never. Better late than never.
I was like well into like 23, 24 or whatever, and I had never seen it. And I was by myself for work. I was traveling and it came on like VH1 one day. And I was like, I've never seen this. I have nothing to do. It's 8 o'clock at night on a Friday. Let me watch it. And I watched it and I was just like, oh my God, like I get it. And then I did wish I had seen it sooner. Mm-hmm. You know, it's way better than Love and Basketball. I don't understand why God. Love Jones is not every black girl's favorite movie.
No, they love Love and Basketball. I don't understand. It's just so raggedy. That, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
I mean, yeah, like I'll play you for my heart, but also I'm going to dunk on you in the meantime, you know, like so make toxic. You play me again. Yeah. Listen, if that's what the women like, that just shows you women be toxic sometimes. I remember a few years ago, I watched New Jack City for the first time. I was in my grown ass age watching New Jack City, and I was sitting in front of the TV with my mouth wide open. I was like, Pookie, no. I swear you would have thought it tore my world asunder. So I get it. But yeah, this is one of the embarrassing questions that they have. The other questions that they have moments that they've had that were supposed to be embarrassing that nobody knows about really aren't that embarrassing at least from my point of view.
Right.
Kelly talks about drinking a bunch of Red Bulls. Tiffany talks about her me time, if you will. And I think it's just a situation where these people know each other way too well, or they've just gotten to the point where there's just not that much to share. What do you think, Mari?
Yeah, I exactly that. Like, I'm trying to think what I would tell my friends that they don't already know. If I embarrass myself, they gonna be the only ones to know about it. Mm-hmm. So I think it just might be that they know each other too well already. But that whole Kelly waking up and drinking two Red Bulls every morning, that love yourself, sis. Like,
yeah,
love yourself. Like, don't do that. That's not good. I don't
not think that's a good. She said she didn't have a menstrual cycle for a while, but she definitely probably had wings, because the Red Bull don't give you nothing else. It'll give you that. So one of the other questions that they ask is if each of them would spend their lives with the last person that they slept with. And here's one of the like primary conflicts in the episode. We see Issa revealing her insecurity about the relationship with Nathan. She tells her friends that he called her inconsistent, and to Issa's shock, they all believe. You know, like they are like, yeah,
oh,
we agree.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
they're trying to fake it at first.
Yeah, like, oh, for real, girl, what, you? But Issa's confiding in them that she doesn't know where they stand since he left her I love you hanging. She also contemplates starting all the way over with someone new. Mari, how do you feel about Issa potentially moving on here away from Nathan after their I love you disagreement?
It was just, again, so unsure. It's like, okay, so I'm assuming once we saw you guys drop it on the couch, you have not talked since. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like, oh, I guess. They leave stuff up in the air. They just leave stuff up in the air. And it's just, I don't know, man. Again, Issa and Nathan, they feel like they have this. They both have the same flaws, and they those just don't mesh well. So, and throughout the night, we will see just how inconsistent Issa can be, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. This is all a product of the questions game, as Kelly said. Like, it brings these conversations out of them. It's just
it
like
begins.
It begins. The drama is knocking on the door to stir shit up, and just like that, they get a knock on the door. Yeah, and this is Trina from the neighborhood. Trina is complaining about spiders because Issa is still the superintendent of the building. She's the building manager, and And she's complaining about spiders and also complaining about Kelly, because apparently the two of them are beefing because she's a bad influence on little Benjamin. Where did this come from, Ari?
I don't know, but that was so freaking funny. First off, Issa being like, spiders are everywhere. I felt that as a new homeowner. Like, they don't tell you how many spiders are, like, places. I don't like it. Watch out for spiders. But also, when Trina saw Kelly in the background, I was like, there's a poisonous one right there. And then Kelly was like, oh, I thought I heard a bird speaking.
I was like, did we miss something? Like,
and then they just stand at each other, just making faces. I was dying. Oh my gosh, that was so funny. And then, yeah, we find out why. And I was just, that was great. I love stuff like that. Apparently there were a lot of callbacks this episode to some of the stuff from other seasons. So, like, in this part, when we were watching it, my husband was like, I didn't even know they knew each other. If you guys don't remember, in season 4, Issa was doing fundraising for the block party. And she did one at her complex. And that's where Kelly met Trina. And they were like party friends. They're like, hey, girl, hey, let's drink. Yeah, like they're the turn up friends. Mm-hmm. And somewhere during the turn up, it turned down. I also want to point out at one point when Issa bought the hat out for the hat game, Kelly was like, you still got that subscription to Lids? And Issa was like, yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. And that was that was a callback to when Kelly was doing Issa's financials back in season two or three. And she was like, why do you got a subscription for Lids?
Man, so I didn't keep that.
Yeah, and I think, again, this season works so well after you have, like, really refreshed your memory on the last four, because you remember, you know, it's been at least a two-year gap between season 4 and season 5, so some of this stuff may feel better after you've gone back and watched the first 4 seasons. We have a couple of our new listeners binge this season just to listen to us. So let us know if you feel like binging the first 4 seasons really helped impact this season for you. But yeah, I just thought it was so funny and such a great callback, Trina and Kelly.
No, that was good. I hadn't even picked up on that. I was too busy trying to find out how Kelly was a bad influence on little Benjamin, or how he was at least a bad influence on Kelly.
On her.
Listen, sometimes kids don't have good vibes.
Right.
That's just what it is. But that's neither here nor there, because Molly gets a phone call from none other than Torian. And Molly does the thing where she says, oh, this is a work call. And that's kind of normal for Molly. She gets up and she goes around the corner, but this ain't the same kind of work call that we've seen her take in the past. Mm-hmm. She's like grinning and kind of talking in her bedroom voice. And I mean, she's smiling way too big for this to be a regular work call. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it becomes clear that even though the two of them are making a great team at work, there might be a little bit more between the two of them. Were you happy to see this developing past where we last left it, Mari?
Yes. Also, shout out to Yvonne Orji for buttoning her pants when she got up to take that call, because that was that was one of the realest things I've ever seen as a woman on TV. Whenever you have high-waisted jeans and you sit down, it's like one of the buttons got to go. Like, you have to unbuckle that. So that was so cute. But also, yes, I mean, and it sounds like they're taking it really slow, which I love this for them. I love this for Molly. She was just talking about, like, you know, they're just talking about their cases. She's like, but he is kind of talking a little later at night. He has been asking me how my mom's doing and what I've been up to. And she even says it's been real different since the retreat, and that, you know, it seems like they have a nice rapport. And I think she even said, like, it feels like we're, like, tiptoeing the line between wanting to start something, but neither of us has jumped in yet. And I liked all the different advice, but I really like that Molly is taking her time. Like, I'm just loving that she's taking her time, because if you remember back to season 1, episode 1, you know, she had that dude that had spent the weekend, and she had given him a drawer and then texted him once she got to work, like, what are you doing? Like, I'm just so happy that she, no matter what's going on with her and Torian, she's still trying to figure it out. She's not rushing it. And again, growth, like growth. Molly is showing a lot of growth. And if you're not seeing it, I do not know what you're watching, because this is a whole new Molly. And I feel like she's not getting as much recognition as she should when she was getting like bashed in what, season three, you know, was it season three? Yeah,
I mean, she's gotten bashed consistently.
And like, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, just shout out to that. I love that growth from her. What did you think?
Yeah, because I was low. Remember, I was low on the Tori and Molly stuff.
Yeah.
But specifically at the retreat, I was like, you don't go get emotional because your mom is going through some stuff and make rash decisions or get drunk. And, you know, like she was going through a lot, and it was a business retreat as well. This wasn't like girls' weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. So now that they've stepped away from it, they've sobered up a little bit. They've been able to kind of feel each other out on a more personal level. We remember that was the first personal conversation they ever had. He said, I didn't even know you've had a family. And she was about to sleep with him that day. And so it was like, look, I don't hurt to slow down.
I don't think she's ever.
I'm just saying, from people's point of view, the chemistry was brewing. They was real close to touching lip, at least, at the very least.
And so it was
at the very least, they was close. And so it's like, but the old Molly, look, the old Molly Mari, she probably would have touched lips, you know. And so yeah. And so for me, I was just very happy to see that she didn't make the move in that moment. And yeah, I'm not against her making the move now that she has, you know, kind of moved away from that more emotional space that she was in.
Right.
So yeah, I totally agree. She asked if she should give Torian the green light. And yeah, and that cues another song break that, oh man. John Legend and Andre 3000. This song had me in a stranglehold. Yes. It's so
love
good.
It.
Yeah, Puya was listening to, I was watching the episode because he's recently binged it and caught up, and he texted me green light and with the music emojis. I was like, yes, Puya, know me, know me. But do you think that this is the sign that she was looking for, Mari?
No, I just think Alexa is the nosy.
the algorithm got her.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was a sign, but I think, you know, I just want to know what she means by the green light, because that's the thing that scared me. I was like, given the green light, like, come jump into these panties. Like, that's why I was like, don't do that. But definitely, you know, green light, you know, maybe taking it a little bit further, maybe asking him if he wanted to explore. But please don't just jump, you know, jump straight into it. And again, this is the third time this season we've seen Molly turn to Issa and be like, you know, should I give him the green light? You know, we saw it in the first episode when she was talking about their Omari. And it just, again, goes to show where they're at in their friendship and this moment and then a moment a little bit later. Just, you know, again, everybody, I know we're complaining that we might not be getting the love story that we want for Issa, either between the Nathan or if you're Nathan Camp or Lawrence Hive, you know, we're complaining that we're not getting what we want from that side. We need to appreciate what we're getting from Molly and Issa, because, you know, as a woman who has, you know, very close connections with, you know, all of my close girlfriends, like, it really is such a great bond to be seeing on TV and the way it's played out, especially since, again, like I said, we saw so much strife with them for about two seasons, or really you could say since Jump season one. But just to see how far they've come, how real they've gotten with each other, and just how much they value each other's opinion is just so great to see. So if you're worried about the romantic side, revel in the friendship side, because I feel like we are getting fed when it comes to that relationship.
Right. Well said. And with that, we are going to take a next ad break. We're going to check out some of these advertisements and then we'll be right back. All right. And we're back at Controller's house. At Condola's house, Lawrence is making dad jokes and catching up with his baby mama. Condola can't get Ja to open his mouth for the airplane, but Lawrence suspects that the choo-choo train could get him to eat his food. They're kind of playing house here a little bit, you know, co-parenting in the best way that, you know, we've seen thus far between the two of them.
Yeah.
this is definitely a win for the Hive. You know, the Lawrence Hive, we out here rooting for our boy. But, you know, Condola actually admits that he's a really good dad. And now we know where this is going at the end of the episode because we've all watched it. But by this point, did you think there was a spark or some softening toward each other, Mari, right here?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little scared. I was like, oh, no. But I do, you know, again, watching it and then watching it twice, I was like, okay, thank God. It's just them finally figuring out their co-parenting. And I love how, you know, they said here when Condola was like, oh, it's like pears and carrots or whatever. And she was talking about how she thought she was going to be making the food and, you know, how it's all different once it's happened. And it's something we pointed out really early on. It's like, you have all these ideas of what having a baby is going to be like, especially having a baby as like a single mother. And it really does go out the window once the baby arrives there. Like, you're too tired to make handmade purees, you know? especially when it's just like there's perfectly good, especially if organic ones right there. You can pay 15 cents extra if you want organic ones. Like, it truly, truly is. So I like this. And even, you know, co-parenting, parenting in the same household, being in a relationship, sometimes what one parent does works better than what the other parent does. That just literally is facts. And it will change throughout the child's life. Facts. So I thought it was really cute that Lawrence was able to show her, like, oh, you know, I get him to open his mouth doing this. And I like how she wasn't like, she didn't take it no type of way. I feel like if this was in the, you know, the first few episodes, she would have taken it some sort of way, like, nah, I'll feed him like how I want to feed him, you know? Yeah. But it wasn't even like that. It was like, she was very impressed with him. So I really did like this. I'm like, oh my God, they're getting their ish together. Because no matter what, how you feel about Condola or how you feel about Lawrence and Condola, I think the main thing that we all agree on is that they have this baby. No matter how the circumstances got us here, they have him. He's here, and they needed to figure out a way to co-parent. And seeing them get on the same page was really, really nice to see.
Yeah,
but I agree.
Yeah, but what were you afraid of? Well, now, so we know we want Issa. You know, as a family, you and I and the listeners, we've all decided, and I'm speaking for them because they can't do it for me. We've decided that we want Issa to kind of be herself, you know, find herself, be happy in Issa's space. She doesn't necessarily need a relationship. Are you anti Lawrence and Condola working it out? Because it seems like before the pregnancy, they had their ups and downs. But I mean, things happen in relationships like that too. So do you think there's no bright side or upside to that relationship?
I don't know. That's a great question. The only reason why I'm a little against it is because, I mean, Lawrence was, at least for Lawrence, Lawrence did want to be, you know, all in with Condola. He thought they were. Condola was the one who was like, Lawrence, you're here for a short time, not a long time. You know what I'm saying? Which is probably why a lot of people are, you know, don't really like her. So, I mean, babies change stuff and a lot of people try to stay together for their babies. But honestly, like, why force something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, if they naturally came to that conclusion, I guess, and maybe that's what we were all like, is that what we're going for here? But I don't know. You don't want to, try and force a relationship because you have a baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, people say it all the time, you know, you don't want to stay together for the kids if you're, you know, not providing a safe environment and all that good stuff, you know? So why force it? And they were never, you know, they weren't at that level of love in order to be together. And we all didn't think they were at that level of love enough to have a kid together. So I don't see the point. If anybody would be quote unquote settling, since we've talked about settling on this podcast, I feel like Lawrence and Condola getting together just on the fact that they have baby Elijah, that would feel more like settling to me than any other relationship on this show. Well,
man, No, I feel you there. I do. And yeah, you're right. the motherhood thing is crazy. Like idea that you all are able to do that, and like anybody who has ever birthed a child and raised a child, like more kudos to you, because exactly. It's gotta be exhausting, and you have all these plans and you can't do the plans because you think your baby's gonna act one way and your baby come out with a whole different personality,
right?
Different vibes. You thought your baby's gonna sleep through the night. It ain't. You heard your homegirl said her baby sleep through the night, yours won't, you know, like exactly. That kind of thing. Like everybody is different and it's difficult, and so I think Condola does run into that. Mari, this week on the Nothing But Netflix podcast with Rob and I, we talked to Asia and Geneva about Selling Sunset. And one of the characters on Selling Sunset, I think her name, now I'm going to forget her name, now that it's time to talk about it, Christine. Christine is like the supreme of the show, right? And she has a baby, but like by the next episode, like she was like selling houses one day, has a baby. And by the next episode, she's like holding the baby. She's completely made up. She's like dressed to the nines, all this other stuff. And I'm like, I ain't never seen a mother bounce back this quickly. And she stands up and says, my baby is hungry. And she leaves the room. And you know, she passes that baby off to like her birthing doula or, you know, like her housekeeper for that extra assistance. So it's like TV magic makes it look like being a new mother of a newborn child is easy, but make no mistake, people who don't have the luxury of having that support system, they be having a hard time sometimes. Something that we got to give Condola's her shout outs for, at least being able to stick it out this far. And you know, it does seem like her and Lawrence finally got stuff figured out. What I was trying to figure out is in this next scene, Mari, why is Issa putting Cool Ranch Doritos in the cookie dough?
I'm telling you, I was like, what? That they just were high at that point, I'm assuming. Because I ain't never heard about Cool Ranch Doritos and cookies. I don't know about that, man. I do not know about that.
I know some people who be high a lot, and I know about them people who they are, who, you know, they are nice, great people, but they be high sometimes. I don't know if they've ever partaken in Cool Ranch Doritos in the cookie dough.
That's a step too far.
Yeah, for my high friends. Personally, I'm not even a Cool Ranch Dorito fan. I like a regular Doritos. I'm a nacho cheese type guy. I don't really need the blue bag. But again, neither here nor there. The next question they discuss is, if you could have a do-over on anything, would you? Now, they don't really answer the question, but Mari, this question is for you. Do you ever look back and have like think, like, I wish I could have that moment to try again differently to see how things would turn out?
I'm a six. Yes. Yeah. I think of everything. But, you know, if you continue to do that, you know, you just drive yourself crazy because you can never go back and unchange what you did. And I actually did lean towards what Tiffany said here because, you know, I'm very hard on myself and I always think you can go back and do something perfectly. But I also realized, like Tiffany said, I would not want to change anything because I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. And the way that it happens gets you to where you're at right now. No matter if you like where you're at right now or if you don't like where you're at right now, you know, I love where I'm at right now. But I just think like there's so many things that I think back to my past. I'm like, this really got me ready for this. This set this up for this. This seemed like a dark time, but it led to one of the brightest moments, you know, of my life. So it just feels like I just was with Tiffany. It might have seemed like a cop-out answer, but I do truly believe that you go through what you go through and you learn. If you learn from those experiences, you are meant to be where you are.
Right. Oh, well put. And Kelly literally had to die for her to find a purpose, right? You know, like she says that she's been meditating. She stopped drinking. She's discovered this amazing thing called walking, Mari.
Y'all heard of walking?
Right. You ever just walked? I've seen Kelly run, in quotes, a marathon before, but she had never.
Three?
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know if she got 3 miles in because that's pretty cold, actually. But yeah, she just discovered that you could just walk just to clear your head and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that she's learned in her years of life and, you know, dealing with her mortality in that one episode is that she's done helping rich white men help rich white men get richer.
Get richer, yes.
And I give the snaps.
Yes. And I don't know who said it. It was like, I hate that you don't know what literally means, because when she said it too, I was like, I don't remember her literally dying.
Yeah. I think that was Tiffany who was like, but you didn't actually, never mind, you know. yeah, but you know, we see Kelly having some introspective inspection there just based off of her experiences. And so, yeah, had she done things differently in college, maybe she would have been remembered more than, you know, for more than her stanky leg and her purse. But, you know, now, you know, she's able to have this moment where she can appreciate life a lot more. And so she wouldn't want to change that at all.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, but go for it.
Do you think that this introspection, this is kind of the culmination of that? Because we have been speculating all season, like, what is this leading to? Kelly, you know, Kelly keeps talking about working on herself. And I think this, I kind of feel like this episode kind of, I kind of feel like it answered all the questions. She just talks about why she did it and how she feels better now. And I don't feel that cloud of darkness around her that we may have thought that we were going towards.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with you 100%, and I was so happy to feel that way at this episode, because let me be very clear. I've said from jump, people who watch Insecure, we be trying to make this show an hour long, 2 hour long movie special soap opera with, you know, with 16 seasons. Like, we got 30 minutes, and a lot of these storylines, I be hoping, like, now, back, you know, back then in the early seasons, I thought like all this stuff was gonna mean something, you know, like every little thing, like, oh, Dro and Candace, like, they say they in an open relationship, but what if they not in an open relationship? Oh my
god, yeah,
people were speculating for that for years, and it was nothing. It was literally what it seemed. And so I think that it's refreshing for me to look at this and say, maybe Kelly doesn't die, we don't have this big traumatic moment, or dramatic moment, I guess, by the end of the season. And we can just enjoy the show without this looming presence of doom coming. And so, yeah, for me, I was like, thank you. I hope this just wraps it up and then y'all can stop talking about it, because I just really don't want it to go there. You know, like, I'm enjoying my happy ending right now. So, yeah, so that's just my point of view. Anyway, the Cool Ranch Doritos are done. And they're now on to their next question, which is, which one of Issa's exes would each of the girls mess with? And all of a sudden, we are talking about this blast from the past, Daniel. His name comes up a couple times because I guess he is the consensus choice for Issa's most attractive ex. They talk about his buttocks. and so they're very happy to explore this. But personally, I flinched when Daniel's name came up. I was like, are we doing this again? We really going back there? But this does bring up Issa talking about some of her exes. And she explains how she saw Lawrence, Condola, and Baby Ja at the hospital. And she's trying to feel happy that they worked it out and they are together. And now, I never thought for 1 second before Issa said this sentence that she actually believed that they were together as a couple. We went through the whole podcast last week and we didn't even say, like, do you think Issa thinks they're together? Like, it never occurred to me. Mari, how did you feel about this?
That exact same thing. I was like, oh, she thinks they're together. Like, yeah. You're right. I was like, okay. So she, and then I stopped to think, I guess that makes sense, because she saw he move back. She said, yeah, I saw he move back, and I'm happy for him and Condola. She then saw them at the hospital together. So, I mean, it makes sense. She's not privy to what we are privy to as the audience. So,
right.
To see that conclusion, I mean, for her to jump to that conclusion, I'm not mad at it. I can see where she was coming from with that.
Yeah, and Kelly reveals that it might not be all paradise over there as it seems, you know, because they talk about at Simone's birthday party, how it looked like Lawrence and Condola weren't on the same page. It got kind of ratchet. And Issa says she feels like she feels guilty for dipping when it got hard, you know, when Lawrence was faced with this moment with, you know, the, I guess the, you know, baby on the way. Mm-hmm. Issa, she decided to tap out. She's like, I don't want no parts of that, and I'm good. And now she's starting to wonder, like, man, did I desert Lawrence in a time where we could have really worked this out and he could be co-parenting and all things could be good? There's a conversation about whether Issa made the smart choice, the right choice, or the smart and the right choice. Mari, I have to know, who do you agree mm-hmm. with here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was really interesting from Issa. Like, I did love the look that Kelly and Tiffany exchanged right before they dropped the bombshell about Lawrence and Condola.
Yeah, the birthday party.
At the birthday party, I thought that was really. They were like, well, but Issa does say, so, like, you know, yeah, I avoided the drama. You know, I avoided the drama and all that stuff, and then they started. Like really unpacking it, and who was it? Was it Molly who was like, "Yeah, she didn't need to be a stepmom." And then it was I couldn't get all of the opinions, but it did seem that I did kind of like Tiffany saying the whole when she said it doesn't have to be the right choice. It just the choice that fits for you. Like the smart choice isn't always mm-hmm. the right choice. You already said that, but she also said like it just has to make sense for you. The right choice makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's what I would go with, you know. Yeah, you want to say, oh, there's no smart decision, no right decision, no dumb decisions. Like it feels like there are dumb decisions, but basically if you make this decision that's right for you or that makes sense for you, no matter what, it will always be the right decision. I still fall back on that. And I think this was the right decision for Issa. Kelly says it was the right and smart decision. but I mean, and we did say it on this podcast only because Lawrence and Condola needed that space in order to figure out how to co-parent first. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Issa being there and tagging along at that time would not have helped. It wouldn't have helped her. It wouldn't have helped Lawrence. It would not have helped Condola. So, you know, I think it was the right choice at that moment.
Yeah, I love the way they framed this, you know, with Molly saying, you know, nobody want to be a stepmama, and Tiffany being like, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you do, right? Like, I mean, right. Stepmamas mm-hmm. exist for a reason, you know, like,
exactly.
Like there, some people are, you know, are built like that or can stick it out in those situations because it's right for them. And so mm-hmm. I was happy to see them kind of explore all those options because it's not a binary choice of, you know, open the door through door number one is the right mm-hmm. choice. Door number two is the wrong choice. Like there's nuance to it. And I'm glad they explored it.
Yeah. We've talked about it on the show so many times. We talked about it on the preview podcast. We talked about it, you know, every episode. It's just one of those decisions that it was a decision that needed to be made. And Issa made the decision for herself because Lawrence gave her the choice. You know what I'm saying? He was real with her. He was upfront with her. He told her what was going on and he gave her the choice and then she made the decision for herself. So, you know, you gotta make your decision and you gotta own them.
Right. And you gotta own them. And we see the three of them are bonding. I really like just seeing them together. And they have a group hug right before Tiffany reveals that she and Derek are moving to Denver, like the omelet.
Yeah.
and she basically gets emotional and kind of has to sit down and explain to them what exactly has been going on. Derek's got a job and for the sake of time, like they don't really have time to kick it that long because they're going to be moving within the next couple of weeks. And quite frankly, she's terrified that she won't have the love and support from her friends if they are far away, especially when faced with the idea that she and Derek might actually have more kids and she could go back into her postpartum depression, which we saw her deal with in one of the later seasons. So, you know, we do see the big group hug and we see them dealing with this emotional moment. Mari, what did you think about all of this?
Yeah, again, this is what happened at the sleepover. She's like, this damn game, when Kelly said, you know, people find things out. And this is always hard. You know, I've had a best friend that moved away. And you just, like Molly said, you have to, what her mom's illness taught her was you have to make time for, you have to be intentional with the people you love, you know? And it's sad, you know, because from what we understand from them, they've been best friends for like over a decade now. They've been living in that same city. They've gone through so many life changes together. And, you know, I feel so bad for Tiffany because that is a legitimate fear that she can have with having another baby and then being afraid of the postpartum and stuff like that and not having the support system. So I completely understand why she's afraid, but I do love this moment where they come together and they're like, you know what, you know, we're making this where no matter what, we got each other. And that's the mark of true friendship. You do not have to live in the same state or the same whatever. You just have each other's back. You're there when you need each other. And it's, and I believe they could do it. Like, this is the type of foursome. This is the friendship that they've all maintained. And I really like it. I really like this.
Yeah, it's very similar to the friendship you and I and LaTanya have, you know, which is across the country, but we're still checking in for each other, you know, still being there for each other in our dark times. So, yeah, exactly. I love to see it. Love to see it. They're in a whirlwind of emotion and dinner is upon them. So they decide to stay at home and have dinner there, despite Kelly already having her going out tears prepared.
Right, exactly. They got all dressed up and everything and all nice and Molly put her makeup on and they decided to not go out. Half of me was like, never would I be in that work and then sit at home. And then the other half of me was like, girl, you have fallen asleep waiting to go out to the club. So shut up, because that has happened. Like, and something told me, like, once they started eating and smoking that they probably weren't going to make it out at 8. Like, we're adults. Like, going out at 8 is almost late.
low key, I'm a day party guy now. Like, let me get out to brunch 2:30 to 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I want to be back at home in bed watching Big Brother. Exactly. So, you know, like, I be having things to do. But yeah, no, you're totally right. And also, like, I'm gonna throw a little bit of, like, casual sexism in here. Women take too long to get dressed a lot of times. I've been fell asleep waiting to go out plenty of times where I'd be like, you know, honestly, we don't have to go. But once y'all put yourselves through all the things y'all got to put yourselves through a lot of times to get perfect, listen, you're going out. Okay.
That's what I thought. Like, that's what I said.
Yeah. Like, you got, they like, hey, if she put all this work into it, cause you're going to go out looking like a baddie. Okay. Baddie status takes some work sometimes. And so, you know, hey, sometimes you just got to go out late. I hated it for them. Cause I know the pregame has whooped my ass plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm the person who like, yeah, let's go
for 3 hours. So I was like, there's no way they're not making it
party.
Yeah. That was our shout out to all my college friends. Our slogan was we pregame so hard we don't even make it to the party. Like, that's how we were. And that's what this episode was. Yes.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been there where the pregame has turned into the house party. Like, you know, like, just turn the music up, we ain't going nowhere. Exactly. So away from that moment, it was very touching, but we go over to something else that's similarly emotional. Lawrence and Condola are still catching up, and he says he figured he was back in her good graces when Condola's sister, Kiki Palmer, followed him. Turns out it was by mistake. You know how that goes when you're lurking on somebody's page too hard or you accidentally click to follow.
That's hilarious. Yes. She said it was like a fuck up follow. Yeah. I was like, what? At first I thought she meant like she followed him just to see if he would like mess up with Eli, but that makes sense.
I'm looking too hard at your page. I accidentally click like shit. You know, like, But Lawrence is going to take his wins whenever he can get them. He admits that this last year, although it's been tumultuous. Oh, I've messed that all the way up.
It's fine.
Yeah. Although it's been a tough one. Baby Ja is the best thing that has ever happened to him. And, you know, we were just talking about do-overs and people looking back and saying, oh, should I have done this differently? This is Lawrence doing that same exact thing. He's saying, like, yeah, we've had ups and downs. There are times where I've hated you. And there are times where, you know, like, I felt so low on myself and, you know, just miserable. But I wouldn't change anything for the world because I have my baby. And this is a highlight of my life. And the two are able to bond over that because even Condola here, she admits that there were times during the pregnancy when she considered terminating it when things were not going so well between her and Lawrence. The two even end up apologizing and admitting both of their faults in the situation. I love this moment because like there has been, it was from Lawrence's point of view, he was very much presenting that Condola ruined his life. You know, like he had a good thing going. He had the woman he wanted. He had the job of his dreams and everything was working out for him. And then someone who he didn't foresee wanting to have a child wanted to have a child with him and was pregnant. And whereas he thought the easy solution is, you know, well, let's not have the child and then I can have what I want. It wasn't as easy as it sounded. And I was happy to see my boy say, hey, I was being an asshole. Like that was so selfish of me to even to treat you like that in that way. There are ways to talk about that subject without going about it the way Lawrence is going about it. Cause like I said, whether you agree with the situation or not, it's the way they broach the subject. And so this was a very adult conversation coming from these two adults who've been through so much together. Mari, did you have any strong opinions about this?
Yeah, I love this. I thought this was the moment that we had all been waiting for, especially since after that very tense episode, episode what, 3 or whatnot. I loved it. And I felt bad for Condola because like any woman who's in that situation, you know, I don't want her to let that, just that thought, you know, eat away at her. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you had the thought, you had the opportunity, but you made your choice and your choice gave you this beautiful baby, and just cherish that baby. Don't think about what could have been, what could have been, what couldn't have been. So, you know what I'm saying? That you made the choice that was right for you. It turned out well. And, you know, you couldn't have foreseen that when you were going through it, especially when you were pregnant and left by yourself and crying, you know, and probably going to appointments by yourself. So, I just hope, you know, her and all the women who've ever gone through that are like, give yourself some grace, like for real. And even women who have actually went through a termination, give yourself some grace, you know, like reproductive, choices and issues are always such a sore subject for us. And I think us as women, we really need to, be gentler with ourselves, because that is a big decision. It's not taken lightly. Contrary to what people believe, that's not a choice that's taken lightly. No matter where you fall on the divide of it, it's not a choice that's taken lightly. And then when you make your choice and you know you live with it, you have to accept it, and you have to be able to just move on and give yourself some grace. So I really like this. I thought them both finally having a grown-up conversation. Again, we pointed out how Condola has let Lawrence be the parent that he wanted to be. Him moving back, of course, helped that situation. So this seems like the healthy part. And even then, when Condola says, you know, I just want you to be happy. And that was the moment when I was like, you could tell she didn't want him. You know what I'm saying? Like you could tell she didn't want him, but she was giving him permission to go and be happy and be like, I don't want you to feel like you're miserable and you're locked here with me. And not in a way, and not even in a snarky way. You could tell that they both really care for each other. And like he returned that and said that he wants her to be happy as well. But I can't remember the actress's name, but the lady who does Condola, just so great in this scene, because you really could just read from her body language and how she delivered the lines that it was nothing in it for her. You know what I'm saying? She really was just telling Lawrence, I'm happy. I think we're doing great. And I want you to be happy. And I don't want you to think that you don't want me to stand in your way. And I think she, you know, she knows about Issa, and she, you know, it was her coming to grips with it and her almost giving him permission, it felt like. So I just thought this was great. I thought this was a great vision of co-parenting without egos being involved.
Right. Yeah. Shout out to Christina Elmore. She's been acting her ass off this season. Christina, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, she's doing what needs to be done. Great moment for the two of them. Back at Issa's, her and the homies are having their waiting to exhale moment. Okay, they are inhaling and exhaling a lot. Okay,
and now working. That's a movie. Have you seen Waiting to Exhale, Chappelle?
I mean, when I was little, it was like on TV or something. But you know, like, it ain't one of like the ones I go back to. Yeah, it ain't one like the ones I go back to. That ain't my speed. Give me something a little bit goofier.
I rewatched it after Whitney passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Parts of it don't hold up.
Yeah. There's some problems in that one for sure. Yeah. I think I went back after Whitney Houston died. I think I watched The Preacher's Wife. They only had the soundtrack on like repeat.
That was a better option. Yeah,
for sure. But yeah, so they're waiting to exhale, inhaling, exhaling, twerking, mm-hmm. all that good stuff. And now Issa wants to peer pressure Molly to text Torian. She's like, "Hey, Torian, do you want to get together outside of the office? Because I do look a little different. Bucket naked," or whatever Alicia Keys said.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you remember that video. What's that? You don't know my name? Yeah, them some stalker vibes. Like, how you gonna dig this man number out of the little bowl and then call him, ma'am? Mm-hmm. Weird. Okay, Alicia. But all that aside, Molly decides, like, okay, I'm gonna draft a text. I'm gonna send the message. I'm gonna let Torian know that I'm down. But before she can even get done with the text, we get another blast from the past, and I have to say it in the Soulja Boy voice: Dro. I was like, I don't want to ever perceive Dro on this television screen again. Like, I'm sure the actor is a great guy, but as far as insecure Dro, I'm good here. I'm good. Mari, what was your reaction to hearing Dro's name dug up out of the grave?
Same. I was like, what? Like, why? And like she said, maybe he just wanted to see how my mom is doing. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So
they're old friends, yeah.
But call her brother, like.
Yeah, don't talk to Molly no more.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, that was so
I broke up y'all friendship. Y'all ain't friends no more. How about that? Yeah. But this is the power of the questions game, Mari. It stirred up all the exes. Daniel first, now Dro. We talked about Lawrence. Do you think the mention of Dro is going to amount to anything, or is it just going to be he called one time to check on her?
I don't know. I hope it doesn't amount to anything. If we're talking about stuff we hope doesn't come back. Him. Yeah, maybe she. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want him back on my TV screen. Maybe as a test. Maybe I guess he can come back as like the test. As like, oh, is Molly gonna jump into old Molly and then she rebukes thee, you know, and throw holy water at him? But
get thee behind me.
Exactly. But I definitely don't want him to come back into the picture.
Right. Yeah. Even to our to the point of our feedback from Jason, you know, like there's a lot of characters that we do miss. Dro is not one of those characters that I miss personally, but I could see them trying to like do what you say, a bump into at the farmer's market or something just before the season's over, just to kind of give these people a final bow. I think I'd be OK with that a little bit. Yeah, just a tad. But Kelly is
also sliding. Sorry, I don't even know if we the letter at the beginning, Jason, that's not our Jason. Jason Reed is not watched Insecure. We are trying to rectify that situation.
Right.
Like, soon as you said it, I kind of thought it first. I was like, oh, no, we need to clarify that. That's not our Jason.
No, Jason Reed does not respect us and it shows. Right. But in the meantime, Kelly is sliding into Daniel Kaluuya's DMs for whatever reason. I don't know. Everybody's shooting their shot. So Issa feels like this is the moment to shoot her shot too. She wants to call Lawrence. And I'm watching this like a slow moving train wreck. Like, what are you doing? 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 Molly steps in and says like, hey, Issa, remember that time Nathan said you were inconsistent? This is you being inconsistent again. And it's true. I think this is exactly what Nathan accused her of. Molly tells her, maybe if you feel strongly about this, do it in the morning when you're sober, when you've thought about it, when you slept on it. Do you think this was a good look for Molly, Mari? Or do you feel like maybe she was reaching a little bit with the inconsistent?
No, I thought this was perfect. This is, again, where I thought that Issa and Molly's friendship is just at its peak. Because could you imagine Molly saying this to Issa back at the end of season 3? You know what I'm saying? Like, when they were still tense and they hadn't talked to each other. Like, those would have been fighting words. Midway through season 4, fighting words. You know, did she bring a gun? Like that would have been the fight word.
Yes.
But they've evolved so much since then that she was able to be like, you know, almost back to Malibu, like season 2 Malibu. It was like, this is you being inconsistent right now. You know, why are you trying to call Lawrence? I love how she said, if sober you wants to call him in the morning, then you can do that. I love that Issa was like, you right. I also love that they didn't send anything to, they didn't send Torian the like, let's come over and,
tag. The Kelly move.
The Kelly move, exactly. Her showing her boobs to Daniel Coulier. What did Tiffany say? Like, I don't want to hold them this time or something like that. When she wanted to go send them.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I thought this was great. I thought, so we got Issa not calling Lawrence. Well, I think she called him and then like Molly got her to hang up, whatever.
But I can't tell. Yeah.
I couldn't tell. Right. Okay. And then we got Molly just like trying to still take it slow with Tori. And I was like, okay, great. And then we get Kelly saying like, okay, I gave Daniel Coulier, I can't even say his name. I gave him your address. So y'all got a queen and scram. And then Tiffany saying get out was right there.
It really was.
Done.
Like, oh, who thinks of queen and slim when they think about Daniel Coulier? Like,
right.
Of all the things, like, I'm sorry, that's just not on the top of my list. That's a fine movie, but Get Out was right there. Seriously,
that was so funny.
I was dying.
But yeah, this is what happens at the end of the slumber party. Everybody starts wilding.
Yeah, the hangover starts. You know, the next morning we see Issa walk, you know, all her friends out, and she reaches for her phone because she's gotten a text message from Nathan who says he wants to talk. And so the two of them discuss, you know, their relationship, and says he knows things has been awkward between the two of them, and he does admit in this moment that he loves Issa. He always has. And he's just been in his head about it. You know, he's never really said that to anybody. And so for him, this was a tough spot. And I think Issa's reading that as well, because she apologized because she feels like she might have pressured him a bit into making that decision. But even he admits that he can be avoided, you know, like maybe it was time for him to say it. And he wasn't just ready to deal with that moment. He tells her he isn't going to leave. He's not leaving LA. He's going to stick around and try to figure it out. And before hanging up the phone, he says it again that he loves her. Mari, are these two people really in love?
At one point when he said, I love you, and Issa was like, oh, like she, you know, even she was like taking it back there for a second. And then there was a part where she kind of stumbled and she's like, I'm sorry. I was like, okay. I thought, you know, I legit thought she was going to possibly
take it back,
break up with him. Yeah, like exactly. But she says, but that's where she goes on and say, like, you know, I'm sorry if I pressured you for saying it, you know, into trying to say it. And then she says, I love you too, when she hangs up. And then she kind of gives this like look of, okay, yeah. And I'm not an Issa and Nathan person, but again, the simple fact that drunk, weeded up you was trying to call Lawrence last night is just not, like, at this point, it's just kind of not fair to Nathan. It's not fair to herself. And I am just more and more like, girl, you need to be by yourself. You need to be alone, because I mean, we only saw Issa really be by herself. What was that? Maybe a few episodes into season three before she met Nathan. Like, we've always seen her go basically from relationship to relationship. And even if it's not relationship, but situationship to situationship, from Lawrence to Daniel, going on some bad dates for a little bit and then hopping on to Nathan. Then when Nathan disappeared, it was TSA Bay, you know, back to Lawrence. Like, we have not, you know, we haven't seen her. We've seen her single in her hoe phase with her hotation, but yes, we have not seen a single Issa where we're like, she needs to be what Molly was doing, is we're working on herself. So I don't know. I just again feel like Issa needs that reassurance. She needs somebody. That's why she jumps back and forth. And this setup here, I'm just like, man, this is what we're doing. We're having a final season and we're setting up who she's going to choose. I can't.
I agree. I don't love this coming off like binary option between door number one is Nathan and door number two might be Lawrence. Cause we see, right at the end of the episode, right after she gets off the phone with Nathan, moments later, she gets a call from Lawrence. And I mean, for a second, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was shocked to see her send him straight to voicemail right before the episode ends. Mari, I do not know how to feel because on the one hand, I'm Lawrence Hive, okay? I want Lawrence to be happy with someone who is good for Lawrence. And I've been saying for a long time, Lawrence, Issa ain't the one. She's not ready. I don't know if you're ready, but she definitely not. But now it's like, well, is she? You know, we've seen them kind of, whenever they are together in recent seasons, they've been good. The only thing that broke them up last time was the baby, the pregnancy. And so... can they get that old spark back? Can you know, do they want that old thing back? That's what my question is, because I mean, however you feel about Nathan and Issa, they at least both have committed at this point to saying, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. Right. And they've made it there. So it's kind of like, now that Issa has made it, should we even be entertaining the idea that Lawrence is a viable option, or should we just be saying, nope, like shut it down.
Right.
Send it straight to voicemail. What do you think?
It's so rough, man. It's so rough. And when the episode went off, I was just pissed that we're in this situation because Issa is so inconsistent. Like, she did this to herself, you know? And I said it again back on episode 4, like, Nathan, if you know that this girl is not over her ex because she cried in your mouth, why are you, like, still trying to give her the time of day? And it's setting up at this point. I'm trying to figure out if I'll ever be like sad for Nathan if Nathan gets his heart broken. At this point, I don't know. I don't really resonate with that character, but I am starting to feel like, is this unfair to him? Because again, she doesn't know what she wants, and that's the biggest thing. Like, yes, I left that episode thinking Issa does not know what she wants. Point proven again for a third episode in a row, because she was talking about Nathan at the beginning of the night, because she kind of thought the door was closed there. And then she talked about Lawrence, and you could tell that when she was talking about him having the baby and she wasn't there for him and she was second guessing her decision, you could see that, like you said, the baby is at this point not a hindrance for Lawrence. It seemed like Lawrence and Condola have gotten on the same page, and it doesn't seem like it's a hindrance for Issa, because Issa was like, you know, I could have reached out, I could have tried to be there for him, you know. So I know I'm talking a lot, sorry everybody, but it's just kind of maddening. And I'm just like, really, like, oh my god, I think this might piss a lot of people off, because again, us knowing that this was the final season in January, everybody got all their hopes up, waiting for this season, thinking of all of the different avenues. And I think most of us thought, no matter what happens, Issa and Lawrence are in game. I think that's why everybody's pissed that Nathan is still here, to be quite honest. Probably myself included. We're all like, get out of here, Nathan. Like, we know who in game is, but it's not looking like that. And for the creators to be setting up, you know, this literal choice here, because this is what it's looking. It's definitely looking like will she pick Nathan or will she pick Lawrence to end the series type thing. I just hope if that is the case, they do it sooner than the last episode. Like, I literally do not want to see, you know, the episode go along and then the very last scene is her walking into the house that of the guy she chooses or something.
Ooh,
corny, Mari, like that.
Write the show.
I don't know if I want that, because again, it's like, it's almost like How I Met Your Mother. You feel robbed of what you were really here to see. You wanted to see a successful, healthy relationship, and you wanted to see it end like that. And you wanted to actually see it, you know, you didn't want it fast forwarded through one episode and then the mother killed off. Okay. I'm sorry. I need to stop.
Oh yeah. I was like, calm down. Cause I know how
that was the worst.
How I Met Your Mother brings up those feelings. Okay. It's like the question game. It stirs it up.
But yeah, so I don't know if that's something I want to see. So I don't know. Like I said, I think I'm just going to focus on their friendship and get all of my feels from that, because this shaping up to be a choice here is not the route I thought they were going to go.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That ending that you talked about, I mean, it does seem like it might be on the horizon where we get Issa at the door number one versus door number two. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the last moment, the door opens up and you think it's going to be Nathan, but it's actually Lawrence, or you think it's going to be mm-hmm. Lawrence and after Nathan. Maybe there's a world where the door opens up and it's just Molly, you know, and she just has her friend and they can, you know.
Isn't that how Sex and the City ended? I never watched it.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never watched it, but I think it's like, it could be something to that same effect of like Nathan tries to make it work in LA. It's not working. And then he's like, I got to go back to Houston. Will you come with me to Houston? And then Lawrence says, will you stay here with me in LA? And she's on her way to a taxi. I think that's how Sex and the City, I don't know. I don't want to piss off the Sex and the City fans. I don't know what the crossover is.
Yeah,
I feel like there's something about she had to meet Mr. Biggs in Paris. I don't know. Let us know.
Right. Yeah.
Leave email a 5-star review and then tell me how Sex in the City ends. But I could see something like that. She gets into the taxi and it's like, is she on her way to the airport or is she on the way to Lawrence's apartment? Something right. crazy like that.
We'll never know who she chose, you know, like, and yeah. and that's insecure. I'm optimistic. There's three more episodes and they got a little bit of time to play with. So
yeah,
let's just see what happens. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And Mari, with that wraps up the entire episode. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about the episode? Anything we missed?
No, I think that's it. I think we did a pretty good job there. I'm just another great episode down. I thought that this gave us a lot of context to where our favorite characters and all our characters are. If we're looking for that type of series finale cliches, we already got it with Tiffany, like leaving a main character, like leaving, you know, relocating. So we'll see if we get any more cliches like we talked about. But we're getting closer and closer to the end and I just don't know how to feel. I'm just so anxious. I don't know.
You how about anxious? You? Never.
All right.
Not Mari. Yeah. Nah, I got my own anxieties, but they come out in excitement and I'm very excited to see what happens next. We got, like I said, only a few more episodes, but they got some more story to tell and we'll be here to check it out and to talk about it on post-show recaps every week until that time comes. Of course, before we end every episode, we like to talk about the music and highlight the playlist from the soundtrack. We've gotten into a couple of the songs already, but of course, I do like to start at the beginning. The first song that we hear on this episode is You and I by Jacob, I don't know, Jacob. Damn mm-hmm. Right by Audrey Nuna. Last Night by Keisha Cole. Make Me by Tedra Moses, Uncle Chuck, and Brody. Green Light featuring Andre 3000 by John Legend. Changes by Bosco. On God by Lotto. Shy Girl by Samaria. Centerfold by Genesis. And The Distance by Gavin Turek. Now, Mari pointed out to me Gavin Turek because on Twitter, she was very excited. She said it was a literal dream come true to have her song, The Distance, featured in her favorite show, Insecure HBO. And she thanked Issa Rae for putting her on. She seems like a lovely individual. Her music style is like disco, dance kind of music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's kind of bringing it back, you know.
Love it.
I checked out some of her songs. And then I looked up some articles on her and she seems like somebody who is got a lot of, like she's got a good point of view on music. Like we don't have a lot of Gavin Turek out there. And this year, I believe she dropped her official full length album, Madam Gold. And so check that out. Because it was a dream of hers to, you know, to have an album and to make it big and to even have her song here. She's a native of Los Angeles, California. So we know that's right up Issa's alley as well. So go ahead and check that out. Download the Insecure podcast. I'm sorry, Insecure playlist on Spotify. Because as you know, this is an iconic playlist every season, just full of bangers, full of all the hits, the songs that you didn't know that you needed in your life are all there. And so check that out and follow Gavin Turek on Twitter. If you want to keep up with what they have going on, that's at Gavin Turek on twitter.com. And so with that, Mari, we got to wrap this up. What do you have going on these days? Where can the people find you? What you got happening?
Right now, you can just find me here on the Insecure podcast. The Wrestling Rehab Hub, like we said, we're taking a break right now. And, you know, all of the reality shows are kind of wrapping up until everything starts again once the new year happens. So you can find me here. The one thing I do want to say is, for real, guys, if you can go to your Apple, your Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast, leave us 5 stars, leave us comments, leave us reviews, send us emails, because, you know, we want to know that you're listening. We want to show that this type of content on this network, you know, draws and pulls. So if you want to really support us, make sure that you are listening, you're downloading, and you're leaving those rating and reviews, because it also helps other people to discover us. And, you know, I think this is one of me and Chappelle's big dreams, to be covering a show like Insecure for post-show recaps. And, you know, we all just want to hear from you. We want to hear if you're loving the show. We want to hear if you're hating the show. You know, we'll read it if you're not even liking it. So just, we want to hear your voices. We want to make sure that maybe more content like this can be produced and made and followed. So also check me out, like I said, on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, like the number 2. If I do anything, it'll be announced there. I was on Puya's Twitch stream, his goose duck stream. Go follow Puya, join the Less Than 2 crew at twitch.tv/Puya. Support him, support another fellow creator that, you know, always has our back. He just binged a whole entire series just to listen to us. So much love to him. And I had a great time yesterday, you know, hunting and killing. And it's a game. We were playing a game, people, and it was really fun. Lots of streamers playing a online social game called Goose Goose Duck that have done a good job of kind of supporting Puya and his stream. So just go check that out for some of your favorite podcasters. And that's about it for me. Yeah.
No, that's a good wrap up, Mari, because you're 100% correct. You can like and subscribe to post show recaps and keep up with what we have going on. But we have our own feed as well. Insecure, the post show recap, is where we have found it on Apple and Spotify and all those other podcatchers. And so check us out. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars. Let people know that you want more content by you know, creators of color, about shows about people of color, you know, because Mari and I are going to talk about anything. If you ain't going to learn nothing else about the two of us, is we talk too much. And so if you want to talk about stuff that you're interested in, give us some feedback. Let us know. If you want to keep up with some of the stuff I have going on, the aforementioned Nothing But Netflix podcast with Rob Cesternino is released every week. This week, we, of course, talked about Selling Sunset with Geneva and Asia Welsh. And that was a great time. So check that out when it is released, I believe tomorrow or later on today, whenever this is released. Also, I'm still talking about The Walking Dead on post-show recaps as well. So Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead World Beyond are ending this week for mid-season finale and series finale. So check that out if you're a zombie fan or if you just like to listen to me talk. And then, of course, on Silent Podcast, you can check me out with Sasha Joseph, one of our old guests. She and I are still talking about Never Have I Ever season 2, and we are about to wrap that up. We're I think about episode 8 at this point, so we're almost done. So check out Sasha and I there if you want some of that content about that other Netflix show. And then also this week, we got to, I'm very excited to announce that, my good friend Isaiah, 8-Ball Bangers, his podcast just released last night. It would be, his RHAP's Rob Has a Podcast, first dive into a music podcast. And so I was blessed to be a part of this moment for Isaiah. It's called Oxcord Approved with 8-Ball Bangers. And I was his special guest for the first episode. We talked about Call Me If You Get Lost, the Tyler, the Creator album, which is one of my favorites. So if you want to hear my insight into that, you want to hear Isaiah, you want to keep up with the music, check all that out on in our various locations, wherever you want to find them. But that's also on Rob Has a Podcast Network. So again, that wraps everything up. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. And we will be back next week to talk about the next episode of Insecure. I believe it's called Chillin'. Okay. So until then, take care and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.